Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the Local Voter Education Program. If there ever been a time for local voter education, the time is now. It should be distributed through our schools and our city council. And local media, all we ever hear is to go vote. Some people vote by being told who to vote for. Some vote by party. Some vote by gender. And some vote for candidates by the color of their eyes. School buildings are convenient in neighborhoods and are ideal for candidate debates. We need to get the Fort Worth ISD to open the doors to candidates. The only candidates who have ever used a Fort Worth school for a campaign are Fort Worth Mayor Bestie Price, Councilmember Gina Bibbins, and candidate Bob Willoughby. We are working to do programs from January through November with candidates for midterm elections. But it costs to promote the program $1,000 for a full-page ad in the Fort Worth Weekly and $1,350 for a half-page in the Star-Telegram. What we need from you to learn about your council and school board members, and help us find businesses to donate $100 a month for 10 months, with a check made out to the Fort Worth Weekly. For more information, call 817-446-7056 or contact us at b.willoughby@live.com. Thank you, and let's get back to the program.
Welcome to the Local Voter Education Program. Tonight, my guest on board here is incumbent Constable Michael Crane there. Also, we invited, I don't know if my mic's working right or not here, but we invited a candidate for Tarrant Murray for running for county sheriff, and she sent me an email asking where did she come to, and when I sent back that it's a call-in show and can take questions, she's never replied, so I don't know if she'll call in tonight or not. I don't look for it. Also, if Murray does call in, or if anybody does, if she does call in, I don't know what number it would be. She needs to push 1 on her phone, and that would indicate that she's there. But anyway, okay. Well, I see someone else has came online here. I'm not sure whose number that is right now, but we'll check in a little bit and see. Okay, a hand just came up there. Okay, that's Mr. Campbell's number, I believe. Okay, yeah, it's kind of neat here. You see little hands come up like help. So. Okay, but what I'll do is I'll open the mic up here in a little bit. First thing I want to announce is now what we do on this program is we try to be more or less a tool to bring candidates on and people to the candidates. And I want to know there's a lot of organizations out there, the Democratic Women's Lead, the Republicans Women's Lead, and all this. But all these kind of organizations, neighborhood associations, all these, they don't never advertise outside the inside circle. If you drive around town, you'll see I have signs up. I'm trying to reach outside. We're down to 97% not voting, did not vote for the mayor. We're around 95, 96 voting period in local elections because no one's informed about them. And the candidates seem to work the same crowd. So, but anyway, I've got a simple method that I use to vote by, and we don't endorse candidates. I'm not about to endorse anybody. I think that's wrong in the Star-Telegram and the POA and the Firefighter Association. I think that's very, very unethical of those people doing what they're doing. But I don't endorse. I will criticize, but I don't endorse. Not that it would help any with my endorsement anyway, probably. But what I'm trying to do is, like I say, reach the general public and get them more involved to get our voting up higher, because it's really in a critical stage. And that's what I was going to say. The method I use, first off, to narrow it down, if a candidate, I don't care what party, if they don't want to come out and talk to you or answer questions, I won't vote for that candidate. I'm not going to support that candidate, okay? First thing, they got to come on board and talk to you. That's the first thing to be open up, because they work for us. I went to a meeting the other night thinking I was going to get to talk to the school board Q. I thought he would be up the way that it was advertised, was for them to take questions, it looked like. So I went there, and he made one little speech that he's going to leave at 5, and this was at 4:30. Anyway, and he sat down, and then they went on, and he never got up to take and at the very end, you know, I said, you going to take any questions? He took my one, but everybody was moving out and around, so that's no good. That was no good at all. I thought he was going to stand up and take some questions, so and that's what we don't need. We need candidates. If a candidate's doing good, they'll be glad to come on and take your question. They're proud of what they've done, okay? So that's what we're trying to get through in voter education, that's one way to narrow down. And when you narrow down the candidates that won't talk and the ones that will, Oh, it makes it real simple. I mean, there's not they run like, I mean, rats sinking on a sinking ship. I mean, they don't answer, they won't come on, okay? We invited for a couple of samples here real quick, and we'll get on to the show, not up our guest. Tax assessors. We've got two Republicans there with Rick Barnes and Wendy Burgess in there. If you go to their city website, to their website, you won't see any contact to them. You only see how to donate, and that's it. And you can't reach these people. So they're only working the inside. They're not even trying to work outside this. So I don't like that at all. And then all nationally, we sent an invitation to Rayburn, Sheriff Rayburn, no response. And his counterpartner here that we sent out to that didn't respond, that's not responding. So right now, neither one of those are responding. So So anyway, a person doesn't have to come on the show, but they should at least respond to the invitation, okay? And Okay, well, let's get on to, we're going to bring Mr. Campbell on, because I think I'm ready to shut up and have a cup of coffee myself. I love it when I get the guests on, and I like long-winded guests is what I like. It makes my job real easy then. But we're going to bring Mr. Campbell on and let him explain why he's constable, what he does, and then we'll open the lines up a little bit to take any a few questions, and then we'll let Mr. Campbell get out of here, okay? And let's see if I do this right. And Mr. Campbell, have I got you on now?
Yes, Mr. Willoughby.
Great going. Okay, good. Okay, as I said, you know, you can explain, you got the floor, you can explain why you're running, anything you want to talk about, and then we'll pick up from there, okay?
Yes. Yes, Mr. Rue. First thing I'd like to say is to hello to all of the people that joined to listen to your show on tonight. Thank you for trying to get the public more involved in vetting these candidates, including myself and anybody else. And I just feel that there's a lot of work to be done there, but at least you've already started on that. I'm the constable of Precinct 8, Tarrant County. I won the office in 2012. I took office in 2013. When I first got to the constable's office, the first thing that I did was implement office policy. Now, those policies deal with the sworn officers, and we have some employees that are in my office that are not sworn officers, which is my clerks. And what I did was I gave these policies to the sworn officers and also the clerks, everyone that is on the payroll or work in Constable Precinct 8 had to sign for these policies. You sign for the policies. Drug policy, disciplinary policy, policies and procedures, conduct policy. I did all of that. I did my research. I came up with the policy for the first time in the history of the Precinct 8 office that we had office policy itself. Now, saying that, we do have civil service policy, and it does deal with conduct. It deals with some of the things that the county wants you to be able to do and to know, such as your payroll and what our employees are supposed to do. I've been a peace officer for approximately 38 years. I've been working in law enforcement through the Dallas Academy for the city of Dallas. I went to the Fort Worth Police Academy in 1986. I attended Bishop College right before it closed. I've went to ALEA, which is the Executive Leadership College, and I have that. And I also went to the Texas Constables College, and I am a certified bailiff, in which I do perform those duties myself for the court, for the JP court. Judge Lisa Woodard is the JP judge in that court. Some of my affiliations, and just to get get warmed up here. Not going to try to talk about all of them, but it's the Democratic Party, and I am a sustaining member to that party. I'm a member, a proud member, of the Mount Olive Baptist Church, in which I attended today, me and my family. I'm a member of LULAC. I'm a Prince Hall Master Mason. I am a member of the NAACP. And also, I'm a member of the Glencrest Civic League. Also, member of the Ambassadors of Fort Worth. Member of the JP and Constables Association. Also a member of A. Philip Randolph Union. So I'm just trying to get the voters, some people that don't know me, some of my affiliations. When I first began my career, let me go back to as being constable in 2013, I was given a car to drive. I was given a car to drive, to patrol in, to go out, and to monitor the deputies and make the scenes just in case they needed a supervisor. After 1 year of having that car, I found out that I could give the car away to one of my part-time deputies, and that would improve the service of what we do. We do civil process, in which is we serve eviction notices, papers, and we also serve child support. We work with the CPS, Adult Protective. If you have an elderly person that has to be moved from a home, we assist in that. CPS deals with children, and we assist in that. We also serve papers for the state of Texas, which is some people call child support papers. We do serve those. And we do a number of things. We do what we call writs of execution. Now, a writ of execution, if you go to court in your court case and you're suing someone, our court now goes up to $20,000 or a little more, I think it's $25,000 to be exact. But we do what we call writs of execution. Well, the judge gives the constable an order to go out to your business and to see if we can collect money to pay off a judgment that has been rendered by the court. So, and we also work for, we do papers for the state court, our state judges, our county judges, and also the federal judges. Now, some of the things that I have done since I've been in office, quite a while, I've participated in the Read to Win program, in which helps our younger children get on grade level as far as reading. So many of the children within my district have not been reading on grade level, and we will go in to support that. I've also spoke several times at the Young Men's Leadership Academy. And sometimes when I'm speaking to the young men, and I like to get them familiar with our police procedures and how they need to act when they're confronted by a police officer. I mean, there's just certain things that would be good to do when you are confronted by the police. And it is for your safety, and it's for the officer's safety. Because I guarantee you, as long as I've been on the street, the first thing I think about when I'm confronted with someone or dealing with someone is my safety. Of course, that comes first, and also the safety for our citizens. Another thing that I would just like to say is that we do what we call writs, and people will say, well, you know, what is a writ of repossession? Well, a writ of repossession is when we've been ordered by the court to execute a judgment in which a renter or a tenant is in an apartment or a house, and we don't help per se with the move out. You see people's property that's been set on the curb, but we are there to make sure that that judgment is rendered, executed in an orderly fashion. So that's exactly what we do. We stay there to keep the peace. Now, like I said, the car deal, let me go back to that and let me get more. The car deal did help improve our service, in which Precinct 8 has been, I won't say redistrict, but I will say it's been realigned. Precinct 8 goes now from East Chase Parkway all the way out south to 1187 to west to the Chisholm Tollway Parkway. So that covers a lot of territory. And I will say this, is that in our budget, we have asked to get more help. I need more officers. I'm probably down right now approximately 3 full-time deputies and maybe 2 part-time deputies. We need more help. And the work in Precinct 8 is I tell you, it's a lot. It's a heavy, heavy workload. I have to have officers that stay focused, that are professional, and treat people with dignity and professionalism if they're going to work at Precinct 8. Now, I haven't not said that it hasn't always been like that, because let's face it, I'm a head of a department. I've terminated people. And when you terminate people, you know, they hold a grudge against you. Now, my office is an elected office. So a lot of times when people hold grudges against you, they run against you because it's an elected office. You know, they might say they live in Precinct 8, which is a vast territory, like I explained earlier, and they might live here, or they might ask someone else to run against you, and that's some things that you have to deal with. Now, when I do terminate people, let me say this. It goes through the Civil Service Commission. First, I run my termination through the DA's office. And the DA's office is they streamline the process of my termination, make sure that I have the probable cause, make sure that that every charge is the way it's supposed to be. Once it goes to the Civil Service Commission, there is a hearing. And for over the last 20 years and that I know about, we've had the same Civil Service head person, which would be Glenn Lewis. He is the chair of the Civil Service Commission that we go to. So he's been there approximately 20 years, if not over. And I just think sometimes that we need a little change in the process. Somebody has definitely went to sleep on that board, because the last time I went, when I terminated a young man, everybody had been there approximately 20 years. So any questions that I'm going to stop there, and Mr. Willoughby, and give your people that are on the call a chance to ask me a question. If you would like to ask me a question, then I would like to take that question at this time.
Well, I got a couple of touch on you want to call, you remind me of, and I appreciate it. And you answered some of my questions. You took some of the wind out of my sail here. That's great. One thing I was kind of curious on, I'm not sure. Well, I'll explain the case to you, and then you tell me who do we need to go to change this or what in small claims court. I took a president of a neighborhood association to court there. She tore down one of my signs, and we took her to court, and I won. She owes me $140 for the damage of the signs and the court costs, the other $150 there. So right now I'm out $300. So at the end of the day, I won my – but the only way to get judgment then, I had to either pay $5 – I had to pay more money. So, and I don't think we should have to go another cent forward at that point. I'd like to see those rules changed. I mean – the red light cameras, when you broke the red light camera thing, they held your tags up, okay? So I don't know if that's a way to do it, but I felt like to the day I hadn't got paid on that, and I'm not sure if that's in the same department you're talking about when you evict people from houses. And I am surprised. I didn't know you work as the bailiff with the court too, because that's one of my questions. I was wondering what do you do all day, and you answered that kind of right there. But go back to the first one there. Do you know anything about how we can how we can enforce that? When you go in and you win your case in small claims, you don't have to pay more money. And the other thing, either that or I could pay, I think there was a higher fee I had to pay, $150 or something to put judgment against her property or stuff, you know, and then I couldn't find a list of what that would consist of. So anyway, isn't there an easier way that, like I said, the red light cameras had a good thing. They just stop you from getting your tags you didn't pay. You know, they had a way. Do you know anything, or who we talked to? I'll let you see if you can answer that for me, Mr. Campbell.
Yes, sir. For you and for your viewers, you are able to, if you would like, to file what they call a writ of execution, and that's what you're talking about. You said $150. Mm-hmm. Once that writ of execution has been viewed by the judge and the judge approves that writ of execution, she sends it down to my office. And at that time, I would send my deputies out to that property or to that person, and I would see, is there anything we can levy on? We can levy on. And when you levy on property.
Okay, go ahead. You're doing it.
Sometimes that writ of execution calls us to go to person has a large sum of money in the bank. We go to that bank president, and what we do is we let them know that that we have a writ of execution or a garnishment. You can get a garnishment, and what we would do is they would put a levy on that amount of money, holding it in the account for it to be levied on. So if that would help you.
No, so that's one thing we need. Now, here's what we need. We need a list that when people do this, they can see. I couldn't find out what would the things be. I thought, here, I got to go another $150. I'm already up $350. Now I got to go up to $450. And I don't even know what's on that list. That's, you know, I didn't know if I'd had a list to look at. It said and bank was listed in there. I thought, this might be worth gambling. But there again, I don't know that we should have to pay a penny more to go forward, though. You know what I'm saying? If you done won your case.
Yes, sir.
You know, we should be able to stop right there, and maybe y'all should go and then charge her the extra money for having to go get it or whatever. But I don't, you know what I'm saying? I don't think the victim should have to pay any more. I don't think.
I understand
okay.
It sounds like you're chasing money for money, and you're losing all the time. And I understand
and
that. I want you to know that. I mean, but the thing about it is I'm an elected official, and I'm one among approximately 64 elected officials within the county. And just unfortunately, I don't make any rules or anything to that nature. That is in the hands of our commissioners.
Would that be like the county judge and the commissioners across to the left and right?
That's correct.
Right?
Commissioners Court.
That's it there. So they'd be the ones that we could go to if we wanted to try to change those rules. Let me start there. Okay. Well, that's answering the question.
Yes.
That's what I want to – if someone just tell me which way to go, you know? Well, not the way wife told me, okay? Anyway, but that way.
Yes, sir.
But
well,
nevertheless.
Usually we'll explain if it's a county process and if we have the knowledge of it, we'll explain that part. But if it's something dealing with a legal question, we always refer, and I tell my staff, we always refer to legal counsel. And then we don't just leave you there. We'll give you a number to legal aid. West Texas legal. I mean, I'm a strong manager and a person that if a person comes to you, they're coming to you for help. You don't just leave them there. You try to assist them and help them in just every way possible that you can. So you would give them the number or tell them how to be able to get those numbers to get further help.
Do you have a certain amount of time after one of those cases that you have to do this, file that writs in, that it expires?
The writ, if you
yeah,
get
yeah,
a
like
writ,
I'm saying, because, well, one thing, like
yes,
I said,
sir.
One thing that helps, if we did have a list or a list offered to the people, at least, I know one way to go to try to change the thing, but what we got right now, if we had a list with stuff on there, if I could have seen a list the day that I had to go forward, you know, they wouldn't give me a list, you know, there wasn't one. And if I could have gone one and I saw the items, you know, it says, well, we can take this and this and this, you know what I mean? Then I would see
yes,
what
sir.
I was going into. And if I saw a bank on there, I might have done filed this some time ago, okay? I might have done
yes,
it,
sir.
But I didn't, you know, I couldn't get that list to go the step forward. And that would be nice if it could kind of improve right there in our own, you know, at least if we can, you know, if it's possible to give a list when a person does file and they have to do that. What items is, you know,
yes.
lawnmower, their car, their motorcycle, their mother-in-law, whatever you got to, you know, no. But nevertheless, that would be great, I think. That would be great. But, no, it's just,
the
you know, one thing I love about
question,
the show. I'm sorry, go ahead.
The answer to your question, the writ expires in 90 days, sir. But go ahead.
90 days? Okay.
Yes,
that's
sir.
Way gone then. I was just fed up with it, you know, after spending the money. And then I couldn't find out what, and I wasn't going to spend another $150, you know. So that, but anyway, that, but nevertheless, that would be great though, if you could for future cases, whatever. And I like trying to work on things on the other way, thinking that you don't have to go any further would be nice. So I'll take that Tim O'Hara and down there and see if anybody will pay attention or not. But, we'll give that a go. We'll think about that. And I was going to mention one thing about this show is it's a voter education program, but I'm the one that gets to learn more than anybody does. These people come on here. I can learn a lot of stuff. But, okay, well, Mr. Campbell, your counterpart, Sheridan Returney, he did once. I talked to him early and said he was interested in coming on, and that was way early, and then never could get him to respond again to come on or any reason at all. And I don't see how people can vote for anybody that doesn't want to talk to them or don't respond. You know, they don't have to necessarily come on the show, but they should at least send a reply, you know, saying we can't make that.
Well, yes, sir. Let me say something about that I failed to mention, and I got into more or less the constable's duties and things of that nature, that I am up for reelection, and I do have an opponent, and I know that I'm the best person that's qualified to continue to be the constable. And I hope that people would vote for me to reelect me, Michael Campbell, as their constable for Precinct 8. But I just want people to know, because they, you know, people always say, well, what do you do? What do you do? Hey, when you're running approximately 17 law enforcement, correction, 14 law enforcement officers, and you have clerks, and you have a lot of paperwork that you do that comes down from TCOL and also the personnel office and that keeps us informed on different things that we have to be in compliance with, and we have to do a budget. So there is a lot of, I have a lot of responsibility. A huge responsibility, let me say. And the issue is it's enough to keep anyone busy, you know, 7 days a week. Now, people think that, well, the constable is not in the office. My phone rings 7 days a week. People know how to get in touch with me. I'm extremely visible in the community, and I'm going to stay that way. I want to be visible. I want to be active in the community. You know, a lot of things that I've done in the community, I've did parades, you know. I've did a lot of things, the July 4th parade. I've participated in that. the MLK parade. I participated in the one downtown. I participated in the one that they've had in East Fort Worth on several occasions. But let me remind you and your callers, our listeners, the ones that are in precinct 8, let me remind you, we have a budget that we have to stay within. And I do my best to stay within that budget. Because when you have officers going out and you have to be mindful, these officers must be compensated. Now, when you get into that, now you get into employment law. So you got to be knowledgeable about that. And I don't know how knowledgeable my opponent is about any of this, but he wants to be constable, but it's a big job, a big responsibility to take on. And like I say, compensation, how are they going to be compensated? It's how they want to be compensated, by overtime, or are they going to use flex time? Now, that's two things you get into. Will your budget afford for them to do community events and be there, or them, because you definitely can't order them to be there. You know, that's up to them. Anything after 8 hours, it has to come with the flex time, in which they'll have to take off early, early on that day. If they work 8 hours, they might take off 2 hours, and they'll get the flex time. But if they say, you know, constable, I want to be paid overtime, that's their business. We have to pay them the overtime. So you have to be mindful in some of these community events, and you listen to these people out here that run for constable, especially my opponent. He goes out and tell you he's going to work all the parades and he's going to do this for you, he's going to do that. But I'm just wondering, is he going to tell these people and demand these officers to go out and work, or are they going to be compensated? I'm just trying to figure out how he's going to do this, because the budget is just what it is, and they don't want you to exceed those numbers. So you got to have the experience to know what you're doing.
When it comes to the budget, too, that's awesome. Now, your county, because you work for a county budget, right? And I'm more educated on the and I get crossed my wires here sometimes, because I'm more on the city. I know where we're getting screwed at there. I don't know how our county budget's doing or whatever, how it's being used or how it's being mismanaged and all. But there again, I'd go back to our county judge, wouldn't it, and our commissioners and know all that. But so if you're under that, then we'd have to look there and see how it's being spent and see that. But like I said, there's so much to do. My mind's so focused on the city, that's enough to give my ulcers. So I can't look at any more than that. If anybody is calling in that has any kind of question, I can just push 1 on the phone, and that'll put you in the queue, and that raises your hand for Mr. Campbell if you have any questions. If not, Go ahead.
I have a frequently asked question that I'd like to clear up.
Sure.
I have a frequently asked question. You know, a lot of people have wondered, are we police officers? They ask, are constables actually police officers? Let me say a little bit about that. Okay, police officers are law enforcement officers, and they are peace officers. Constables are law enforcement officers, and they are peace officers. Police, when most of the time when people speak of police, they might say, as in Arlington police, or Fort Worth police, or Dallas police, or any other town's police department. Listen, the constable is law enforcement officers. I've been asked, can the constables write tickets? Yes, they can. A constable can stop you. He can write you a ticket. It is totally legal. A constable is a law enforcement officer. Constables are some of the oldest law enforcement in the United States. Actually, constables originated from England. From England, they came over. And at that time, if you see any of the shows, anything that happens over in England or places like that, you'll see that they have police now, but they have constable on the bottom. It used to be constables, the office of the constable, not police. So they are one in the same. Just to clear that up.
I'm glad you brought that up because, you know, in my mind, it seems like the constables are almost like the Boy Scouts to the police. That's what it seems like almost, you know. You don't think of them as police officers, but you are. I'm glad you brought that up. And I know you,
that
a lot
totally
of people wouldn't.
Not true.
I'm not saying it is. I'm just saying that that's just an image that people can just see by, you know, you feel like constable ain't one going to write you tickets. You know, you see, oh, constable in the car, you don't have to worry. You see police in the car, you have to worry, you know, but you're the same. As a matter of fact, you're equal, right?
We are one and the same. You can't be stopped and issued a citation, and it goes through the county government. But you can be stopped and issued a citation. Just want to let everybody know and put that out there just for information. Yeah. But of course, I have a wealth of information. I've been in law enforcement, like I say, this is my 38th year. I am glad to serve the citizens of Tarrant County in Precinct 8. I want to continue to serve the citizens of Precinct 8, and I want to do my job very professionally and with compassion towards the people in Precinct 8 and anybody else that sees me within the county. I want to make sure that I'm very professional and that I treat everybody with the professional courtesy they deserve.
Well, there's not a Republican running against you, so I guess this primary is really y'all election, isn't it? Pretty much. Is that not?
Yes.
Wouldn't that be true? That's it.
Yes, sir.
Okay, so after that, it's either one or this is it here. So that's going to make it easy. That'll be you'll be the first one in office before November. So,
yes, sir,
and
I would definitely, I would definitely ask all your listeners, you know, to vote for me. There's a vast difference between me and my opponent, and I guess I can say this: that I don't have a criminal record, I don't have a bad record. Any of the inquiries that the DA's office has looked at me on, if they did, I've been cleared through any of that. There's nothing as far as any questions or any type of any malfeasance that are on me personally.
Well, I'll be quite frank with you. I've had some people call, people say things, and some have sent me an email saying this or that. And how I respond to that is say, well, this is why I do the show. Call them yourself and ask, you know. You know,
well,
if they don't call in and ask you, then
the thing,
their words fade away. You know, it doesn't mean anything to me. You know, whatever they say, they don't mean anything. If they're not going to call in and ask you, then they don't mean anything. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Mr. Cameron.
Well, I was looking at the I was talking to a newspaper reporter, and also I have always said to Andrew Lucia, you need to fact check what my opponent is saying. You didn't fact check anything, because if he's an opponent, then his criminal record should come out too. You need to reveal that to the public that he has a criminal record. You need to reveal
that. That's what
we're
trying to do here. We're trying to bring both sides. We open the door to both sides and the people and just lay it out. That's called transparency is what we're trying to do here. It's transparency. And that's what – and without it, you know. So I know how the paper's doing stuff. Sometimes they're biased in some ways.
Well, that's correct, because the fact is that, you know, you need to be straightforward with the public. And I think there should be a law that if a newspaper or if the TV show is telling that a person is coming forth and he's a witness or he's a complainant, does he have a criminal record or not? I think you should at least square that up. Hey, John Doe has, by the way, John Doe does have a criminal record. He's been arrested a couple of times, and that, you know, this is his criminal record. We just wanted to let you know that. But he did give information pertaining to this incident. But that needs to be put out front.
No question.
I think there needs to be a disclaimer there.
I'll tell you something that kills me on some of these forums I've gone to and done too, is that the candidates don't get to ask candidates questions. And that's something here I like to do is allow candidates, because a lot of questions don't ever get answered or asked that need to be asked, you know, and they're not brought forward to the front, and they're very important questions they leave out, you know. So
whatever a candidate says, I think it needs to be fact-checked. And even if it's
needs to be checked,
it needs to be fact-checked.
Or either come out and,
you
know.
It needs to be fact-checked.
I agree. It can be fact-checked. But both candidates need a chance to come out. There's just too much one-sided stuff I see out there. You know, you only get one side of the news, one side of this and that. But nevertheless, anyway, that's what we're trying to do here. And I did put signs out on the east side, but Gina Bibbins fans took my signs up. So anytime I put signs up over here, they get taken up. I do have them on the other side, so I'd had more help on this side getting the show more advertised over here. But I don't know what to
well,
do about
Mr.
that
Willoughby,
either.
Well, Mr. I'm running the campaign. I've lost a lot of signs. People tell me
I know.
All over,
you know,
all
you
over
know,
the city.
The church let me put
signs,
one up
so.
Right across. I do have one across from the courthouse there, almost from that church there on the corner of Barry and on their fence. They allowed me to keep it on their fence. I called them. They allowed me to keep that one up there. And I do have some around the city. I just couldn't hit this precinct as much because this is where I'm, you know, I have my my counter partners, you know, at over here. So when I try to put them up in John T. White area, they'll rip them down. So I may set them a trap someday. I don't know. And put some grease on them
nice.
So they grab one.
No,
but,
be
you know,
nice. They need to, you know, I mean, if you have legal signs out, like I have campaign signs out, and I've had my signs removed. I've had people call me to tell me, hey, this guy just removed your sign and put your opponent's sign down in his place.
Mm-hmm.
And I just say, well, you know, that's not for me to worry about. I've got to worry about the bigger issues, and that's to be victorious in this campaign.
I know. I know what you're saying. And that. So, but yeah, but mine's not even a campaign. Mine's just a local voter education program to help all candidates to get advertised. So, but then let alone mine, you know, I think they mutilate my signs, but nevertheless, yeah, I know. But anyway, it's, I guess it's just part of the thing there. And what I really count on when I run for office now is my mail outs. And it does cost me, but that's where I do the most, there's no one can interfere with that. You can mail out, you know,
yes,
leaflets to people, and that's one way.
Yes,
but it is costful, though. But nevertheless,
yes, sir.
For that. Okay. Well,
if you have any questions that someone is trying to answer, I'll be glad to try to attempt to answer it.
I don't have any hands up. I think you've answered a lot of questions, and like I say, it narrows down the way I do things is. Well, the first thing, candidates have to be willing to come out and take questions. Not, if not on my show, at least somewhere where they're open and they're willing to answer questions, okay? That's the first thing. They've got to answer, respond to that. And that really narrows down the field. It's not that hard to choose then because it doesn't leave very many people. That clears out a lot. The other thing I like is when I see a candidate to go to a second base when they run for the same office twice. Now, District 33, Mark Beasley won't come on the show return calls. I did have the two running for Republicans on my show, and they both have made it hard on me because both of them over the last 4, 6 years, 8 years, both have ran for the same office at different times. So both have ran for that 33. They both came on the show. So now I've got to find another tiebreaker. And they both got, you know, pros and cons. So I don't know. I've never gone that far with two candidates. It's too bad I don't go that far with a lot of candidates. That would be good to have another, and we're not there, I'm afraid. That's where we need to be at with that many candidates that are, you know, that. So I'm not saying either one of these, but at least they've kind of, my system has been pretty easy because a lot of them, a lot of them will jump from one, they run for this. And if they don't get that, they'll run for something else. They'll run for mayor, or they'll run for commissioner, or they'll run for county judge. And they jump over here or Congress over here. I like to see people start running because they got a passion for the job and they know what they want to do it for a reason, you know?
Well, let me be forthcoming. The only office I've ever ran for is constable. And as far as I know, as of this time, that will be the only office I ever run for unless something happens. But this
is. You sure you wouldn't
want to
move up to.
No,
you sure you wouldn't want to move up to mayor?
No.
You don't want to take
a
spot for mayor?
No.
Could you arrest the mayor for
me?
You're a police officer. I'm going to file a complaint against Maddie Parker, okay? Can you go pick her up tonight?
I don't know. I don't want to run. I don't want that job, Mr. Wilson.
Okay.
I don't want it.
Yes. Well, Mr. Kim, I appreciate you coming. I'm going to let you get off here. I know you're tired. You got a lot of work to do and things, and good luck with that, and I appreciate it. And maybe we'll have you get you come back on in the future if we have any questions or something, okay?
Oh, yes, sir. And I want to thank you for letting me come on to your show and to clear up some things maybe for the voters. And I ask them to please vote for me, Michael Campbell, in the upcoming election for constable in Precinct 8. Early voting starts February the 20th. And then Election Day will be is February the 20th through March the 1st is early voting. Mm-hmm. Now, Election Day is going to be March the 5th, Tuesday, March the 5th. And I hope everyone will come out and help select me, reelect Michael Campbell for Constable Precinct 8.
All right. Okay. Appreciate it, Mr. Campbell. Okay. You have a wonderful night.
Thank you, sir.
Okay.
Thank you.
And what we're going to do here is it looks like I've got Adrian here. Let me open up the mic here. And if it'll open up, let's try again. Boom. Let's see. Is that Adrian? Uh-oh. Or did I lose somebody? Uh-oh. What do we got here? I lost one and I pick up another one. Let's see what we got here. Who we got here at 561-1169? Is this Adrian?
Phyllis Jack.
Nope. Who's this?
Phyllis Jack.
I'm sorry. Oh, okay. Are you, well, you're not, okay. I didn't have a hand up on you. You didn't have a hand up to call in or to get on the line or that's okay. I'm just curious. Did you just now call in?
I just called in. Mm-hmm.
Just now, yeah. I was just trying to open up another line, and something happened. One disappeared, and the and this one. Okay. I don't know if you was listening to the show or not. I had Mr. Campbell on. He just now went off, and
okay.
Also you can always go back to the podcast if you wanted to hear what they had to say or anything.
That's what I'll do.
Go ahead.
Thank you.
I'm sorry. Okay.
That's okay. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Bye bye. Okay. Now, someone else was listening in, but they never did put their hand up. Okay. And it looks like I'm the only one on here right now. Let's see. 241 dropped. So, okay. All right. We had some people tune in for Mr. Campbell here. And the second hour, I was going to... talk a little bit about the what's going on with the lawsuits and stuff like that. And next week's show, we have the race state U.S. House Senator, but it is for District 91. That'll be on next set. We'll put some stuff on the website for that here this week and update that. And you know what? While I clear my head just a minute from that show before we start the next one here for a little bit, and probably won't stay long unless I see any calls or anybody calling in that cares about this. But let's spin a song here just for a few minutes here and take a break. Education program, second half here. What we're going to do is have candidates on the first half, and then we'll discuss if anybody's here to discuss anything on the second half of the show about a few things here. What happened on the contestant of District 5? I filed a court case to contest the May 5th election, City Council, District 5. And well, here's three things. The the voting number had dropped by 2,000 votes from the election before, which were a growing city. And it's always been climbing up and not going down, but it dropped by 2,000. A video came out concerning how things are running at the final counting stage, and that is a mess there. And when that video came out, the administrator met behind closed doors with the county judge, Tim O'Hara. He stepped down. I don't know where Garcias is. He's gone, and they brought in a new administrator, Clint Ludwig. And this guy's no good. They brought him in from Wyoming. And so we really got problems with this election stuff. If people really want to, and they ought to be concerned at how it's run. Another girl that was in charge at the top of the in the counting room, named Kat, she resigned when the video came out. She stepped down and resigned and came out and did some public speaking and stuff. And after hearing her speak publicly and saying she has mental problems, she does. I don't know. I just don't think she needs to be in there. I don't think she needs to be in this job. And then they put her back in. So there was questions, a lot of questions in this video. And when I tried to talk to the Tarrant County Elections Public Information, Bill Hanning, he said, I'm going to answer no questions, and he hung the phone up. That really felt me with a lot of, that really filled me with a lot of confidence right there. There was a question about the overseas ballots. 610 overseas ballots, 8 rejected. They said that's about normal, but the only thing that wasn't normal, that 90% of them were all Democrat. They said that wasn't quite normal. The other thing was they all had postmarks from inside the states, and the third thing was all the people in those never voted in Tarrant County before. So there are some questions there that need to be, could be cleared up, but if the people in charge of elections aren't willing to confront this or answer any of this, then I just think there's some things wrong here. But anyway, so anyway, I filed the contest because that was one thing. The and also the video seeing how things were counted in there, so that means there's either voter fraud could be happening or negligent. Now, if you see that video or both, I know for sure. You even see that girl Kat that resigned. You see her on this video at the end of the evening. She's on one left in there, and she prints stuff off the printer and walks out the door with it. You can do that, I understand, but my thing is here that no one should be pulling anything out of that room, for instance, unless there's another party there to verify that it is the stuff you're allowed to take, okay? There was no one there to verify. And she admitted herself that it doesn't look right. So, yeah, this is kind of a mess. So either there could be negligent big time, be voting fraud, or either people have just gave up on voting. If we drop by 2,000 votes. District 5 is the size of Euless. There's 100,000 people in this district. In 2019, I'm thinking we're around 70,000 or 80,000, somewhere around there. We had only 4,400 people vote for council member, District 5. That's 2019, only about 4,400 people out of over 70,000 people. That's pitiful. But anyway, 2021, we have 5,700 voting in District 5, and we've grown to 90,000 or more. And 2023, we're breaking 100,000, and our votes are down to 3,300 below 19. Questionable, okay? Another thing that's questionable, in 2021, I spent $5,000 on my campaign. Reached some people, picked up 640 votes or so. 2023, I spent $11,000, two rounds of mail-outs, a billboard. And the council member also voted to take away free speech at city council, which I hammered at a lot. I mean, I just don't know how you can vote for a person that's going to take away from you. But, you know, the establishment will vote. It's the other people that aren't tuned in to what's going on or don't want to be tuned in. And that's a large majority of this city. And that, so that's what we're trying to get woke up here and doing this show here, trying to get people more in tune with their candidates. And that's what we're doing. So that's what we're trying to do here. And also I'm trying to help candidates get exposed that don't have money. And so, anyway, the election thing is still a mess. We're not getting any answers. The new administrator is sadly mistaken courtesy as weakness on my behalf. Over the few months I've dealt with the man and how he dodged things and how he's answering things, and I've meant this too long. I can see it, I can read it too quick. Most people will fade away. I'm not fading away. I just put him on the back burner for a little bit, and I'm about to come back around to him now. But no, he needs to go back to Wyoming, as far as my concern. This city is a $1.7 billion business, and it has been taken over by nothing but criminals, to tell you the truth, in a way, criminals, the city of Fort Worth. The mayor's not from here, Hackle, Texas. City manager's from Carolina. City secretary and the city attorney's from Austin. Clint Ludwig and our administration's there, and our election voting's from Wyoming. Some of the aides for the mayor are from Philadelphia. We've got people from all over working in this city, okay? But we have a million people here, and we're the 12th largest city, and we can't hire any of these people from here locally? Think about it. It's part of the plan, is to bring people in from out to control the city. It's a melting pot for crooks and developers and business. And the kind of fighting I'm going on right now, trying to recreate a neighborhood association, you wouldn't believe. I had the signatures to have several blocks ready to file, and another person that owns the house across the street from me, it's renting it out, threatening some of the people on the street here to back out. And he got three to back out of the petition, so it put a stop. I was ready to. On Friday I had it, on Monday I didn't have it. And this guy is doesn't even live out here. He's because we're backing out of the John T. White Neighborhood Association, which is a corrupt neighborhood association. And this is how corrupt it is. It's so terrible that we're getting out of it. But anyway, this guy, he's not even part. He can't be a part of that neighborhood association. He just owns the houses across the street. Why would he care about the Drawn Heights Neighborhood Association? What would make him want to call these people? And how does he know about it? Because he's friends with John T. White. So these neighborhood associations have become more or less city-owned. And this is just as crooked. They're weak-minded people, and they're crooked. So anyway, the answer I see starts right here in my own backyard, and that's what I suggest to anybody that wants to help turn the tide or turn the waves, to start clean up your own backyard. Do you have a neighborhood association? Have you been to your neighborhood association? I'll tell you one thing your neighborhood association is not doing is telling people what's going on in the council agenda, what's going on. We lost our right to speak at city council, and if we had real neighborhood associations, they would have notified all the people and their members and stuff to come down and voice their voice, that not to take away the people's presentation. But these associations will not speak out against city hall or council. They will not speak out. They will not do it. They're part of the feathers. They're part of the flock. I mean, and they're scared too, and they won't, and they just, I don't know. These people are something else, I'll tell you. They're really weak-minded people. Country is really, heading downhill as far as I can see. And sometimes you might say I sound like Chicken Little, The Sky's Falling. If you ever heard that book, you may not have, because that might go back before your time. But nevertheless, I'm going to look up Chicken Little. The only difference is I think the sky really is falling this time, though, and I've seen the difference between how the city was run under Betsy Price for over 8 years and how drastically it has been changed under 2 years under Matty Parker for the worse in 24 months. So I can see the big changes there, and it's just terrible. So, and the answer is us. That's going to be the answer. And, so anyway. So somehow or another, we're going to try to get people, if you know anybody that's a fighter that wants to get involved, we need people to speak out and come down to council, start learning what's going on. And that's when we can start changing. cut down crime, better schools, better streets, and all that kind of stuff. It's all through education. So anyway, okay. So we hang on here for a while, and no one else has called in. No one else has raised a finger or anything. Someone probably monitored the show earlier and then went off. I thought it was Adrian. So, okay. Well, okay. We're going to call tonight, and I'm anxious for tomorrow to get here. I can't wait. I can't wait to go down to community engagement and then challenge them on a few things that I found in the writing that's not what they're saying. So that I'm looking forward to. And also, I've got to fill out some papers and see what my property tax is going to be. This is going to be exciting. I may not be on the air next week. So anyway, next week we have candidates coming on from, I think it's District 91, U.S. Senate, or State House, State, anyway. So that, and you can go to my website, fwdistrict5.com. We'll try to update that to the week here and see if we have any more candidates added in. And until then, ciao. Thank you. Bye-bye.